Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
185?
185?
Hey, Scott, how's it going?
It's going.
That's good. That's good.
I'm sitting on a pelican case, so...
Yeah, well...
I might be a little higher pitched today.
What's the old rhyme? What a queer bird, the pelican. His beak can hold more than his bellican. You know? And then our friend Stuart Hume introduced me to the delightful phrase 10 feet of pelican shit, or 30 feet of pelican. There's a lot of feet of pelican shit.
Uh-huh.
Basically, to call somebody a piece of shit. So,
oh, so off you're like 30 feet of pelican shit.
I'm at least 30 feet of pelican shit.
Okay.
I mean, if you're measuring around anyway.
Right. Girth.
I'm a girthy in general. Ladies with large owls or augers, I need your help because I'm girthy. I can't get out of the door.
Yeah, my joke used to be, yeah, I'll admit I only got 3 inches, but most women can't handle it that wide.
Huh. All right.
Yep. Okay. And on that note, good night, folks.
Oh. Yeah.
Sometimes I wish we could edit the podcast.
Nah. Never going to happen.
I know. Yeah. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say.
Yeah, well, that's not podcast specific, Scott.
Well, true.
So, let's see. How was your week?
My weeks were pretty much filled with moving. And I'll tell you one thing. Moving pretty much sucks all the time. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you move transcontinentally and then take up residence at a friend's house,
mm-hmm,
and then get a place,
uh-huh,
and have to consolidate one house, mm-hmm, a second house,
mm-hmm,
plus the European house.
Mm. That's true. You guys didn't make it out of Europe
clothing free.
Yeah, like completely free of accoutrement.
Yeah, we took a lot over, and most of that came back. Some right. things were upgraded, but right. By and large, yeah. So cool. We finally got all of the England boxes, mm-hmm, done, and they're in super good shape, so I'm keeping those. So if anybody else is moving in the local area and wants some boxes, I've got some. Then we moved, on the big move, we moved Jen out of the Gig Harbor garage,
mm-hmm,
and discovered some stowaways that ate through a good portion of bedding and some clothing and some of her expensive
fucking
shoes.
Tony Becerra.
I know. I don't know how he got in, but he did. And so we let them go in the backyard. So hopefully far enough away from
you're
the house.
You're going to be infested with Becerras.
Yeah. And then, let's see, we got a good portion of stuff out of my West Seattle residence.
Mm-hmm.
And once we got all those boxes down, then I brought over, as an incentive for me to get the boxes down, the studio stuff. So my desks and, mm-hmm, cabinetry, mm-hmm, and all that, mm-hmm, stuff.
Now let's talk a little bit about your studio stuff real quick.
Oh, yeah, I was going to leave that as an addendum. But...
Oh, you want to leave it as an addendum? Because I want to get into Wahapa.
Oh, I know.
All right.
We'll leave it as an addendum. We got everything set up in the hopes that today the CenturyLink,
if you will,
would be over to install the internets.
Which is, CenturyLink is what I have. And it's... I didn't have to sell it to Scott at all. He sat down and uploaded last week's podcast and said, where'd it go? Because it uploaded so goddamn fast.
Yes. Yes, it did.
It was the week before that when we were shorter. They just like went like immediately. The one the other day took about 2.5 seconds. So at least he got a little green bar.
Yeah. It said status and then went away as opposed to the other one, which just went beep, boop.
Yep.
So that technician was sick, didn't get the internet. And he came over to help me get things sorted and
remind you of what the settings were when you left. Because neither of us are smart enough to take pictures of things.
Right. And that led to the potential catastrophe that we're dealing with at present.
And it may still be a catastrophe. We're hoping it's not.
I am crossing every single digit that I have.
Which would be a lot nicer if you were wearing pants.
It would be.
Yeah. So let's talk about the catastrophe.
Yes.
I wish we had like somber music to play over this, like a radio play, like The Catastrophe. So Scott has traveled now all the way across the world, distance wise.
Yes.
Granted, you didn't touch the back half. You just went.
No, I just went there and back.
And I'm not saying the Eastern Hemisphere's. I am. I mean, everybody knows it. Everybody knows the Eastern Hemisphere is the back half. Man, they even made a joke on Futurama. It's not even a joke. It's just truth. It's like, on Mars, West Hemisphere, best hemisphere. It's the same on Earth. You know, like, it's true.
It is.
That's not true. It's a little true. Sorry, Japan. And with you went a very bulky but essential piece of equipment.
Yes.
Which was your QNAP NAS.
QNAP NAS.
QNAP NAS.
Now, that was supposed to be in my carry-on with me when we went over.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know you were feeding vultures.
And they would not allow me. I think we talked about this on the podcast.
Yeah.
They would not allow me to carry it on because it weighed too much.
Yeah.
So it had to go in the belly of the plane. I was really nervous. Mm-hmm. We got to England. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
So I figured, hey, we're shipping everything on a pallet. They're going to pack all this stuff up. No problem. What could go wrong? So, got it home, unpacked it, got everything set up, fired it up today because everything's supposed to be there, and two drives were, like, not showing up. Panicked, got a hold of Andy, and I'll let him take over because...
Yeah, so... basically I head over to Scott's house. We were fully intending to podcast from the new studio.
Yep.
That was absolutely our plan. Started looking at the NAS. It's all a web interface. Really snazzy one though. Very, very nice. We've talked about the QNAP before. So if you want to hear more about it, go look for, the keywords QNAP in your podcast program or whatever, or good luck. You can try to find it on the website. But basically, my first thought is, okay, maybe something's loose. That was Scott's first thought. He plugged in and unplugged a couple of drives. So went in, tried to fix it through software, poke around, nothing. Drives 4 and 5 were just dead. They were just not showing up. But something interesting did happen when drive 4 got pulled out. Drive 5 booted. And this is a one disk redundant system. It's got one disk of redundancy. So it went into read only mode, but it was able to mount the share. Unfortunately, the parity check, which is how striping redundancy works, striping with redundancy, basically there's a, it takes one full disk worth of your storage to basically allow one disk to die. But you don't know which disk is going to die. So it's not like, you know, it's a really cool way to basically say any one of these disks can die and everything will be fine. However, doing parity reconstruction of the file system is extremely expensive from a processor standpoint. So while the data is there and accessible, the poor little NAS can't actually serve it. It knows it's there and it can get, you know, but
it tried. It was, it was at 99%.
He's trying. So what, what we decided to do, I happen to have one extra disc of that exact same type, a 6 gigabyte, 6 gig. Oh my God. It's 1998, a 6 terabyte,
Western Digital Red
NAS drive. So, we came here, cleaned that off, and now we're doing the podcast from here. So maybe next week, guys, definitely next week. Well, definitely maybe.
Well, we know everything works.
Possibly,
yes. Everything works at the new studio.
Right.
Just no internet, so I couldn't upload it.
Right. So, but it's okay, because gigabit is so fast, you'll actually make up time.
Yes.
So, by the time you get it installed, it'll be 2 weeks ago.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works.
Makes sense to me.
I'm pretty
Neil deGrasse Tyson could tell us.
Save it. Save the rage.
Oh, I've got more rage when we come to that.
Okay, cool. So we got your audio set up. Well, we got your audio set up finalized, but you will have to go and implement it.
Yes.
But that was good. That was pretty good. Yeah. Anything else broken from the voyage?
Just my soul.
Is this a fish, a shoe, or your internal workings?
A couple shoes.
Couple of shoes?
Yeah.
Those sound uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's like a three-legged race. The shoe in the middle looks like a...
I'm really tired. I am not... I'm dishing out all of these things not even realizing it.
It's okay.
Normally, I set you up.
Yeah.
You know, I throw one out so that you knock it out of the park.
Yeah, I bat your balls around. That's true.
Don't even know what I'm serving up.
Gluten-free. You're serving up gluten-free, easy, underhanded, not underhanded.
No.
Softball, but underhanded too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're also evil.
A little bit.
Yeah.
How was your weeks?
Oh, my weeks was a thing. So we went to Idaho, like we do.
Yep.
In the new car. And I know James Peters is interested in this Crosstrek, so I'm going to talk about the Crosstrek for a second. Because we are now two plus weeks into owning the car.
Mm-hmm.
We have now put a total of 1,520 some odd miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the trip. I mean, Idaho's 500 round trippers, so it's not actually that much, but it's, you know.
But you've done city driving and extended
highway driving, night driving, off-road driving a little bit, let the kids drive it. So that was a lot of fun. Oh my God, this fucking car is amazing.
Nice.
It is amazing. So, sirens. Wonderful. Welcome back to the U.S., Scott.
Hey, thanks.
Maybe they're for you.
Maybe.
Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for probably a meth head down the street, actually. Sounds like. So, the first worry was that the gas mileage on the Crosstrek is much lower than our Spark on the window sticker, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Spark had gas mileage of like 39 to 42 miles per gallon
mm-hmm.
on the window sticker. Practically, no. Practically, it was about 30 to 32, maybe. I'd have to do the math, but it wasn't great.
Yeah.
The Crosstrek has a window sticker gas mileage of 27 to 31.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how hard you drive it, we got about 27 to 20, 28, somewhere in there when we were driving really hard. But we were getting almost 40. Out of it when we were at freeway speeds.
Like, nice.
We were getting really good gas mileage out of the thing, which is crazy for an all-wheel drive vehicle that's that heavy,
mm-hmm.
you know? Additionally, it uses regular unleaded. The engine is specifically tuned for ethanol
mm-hmm.
gas. In fact, you're not supposed to put premium in it.
Ah.
The mix burns too hot and it'll, you know, it can cause problems after a time and mess your timing up or whatever. So our trip to Boise, which normally costs us about $85 in gas one way.
Wow.
In
the Spark, it was 85?
In the Spark, well, because the Spark takes premium. It only took premium.
Oh, true.
So, and we fill up in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So the swing in Oregon between premium and regular unleaded is like 40 to 80 cents a gallon.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. And if you couple onto that, we have a, I have a membership at a reservation gas station for two reasons. One, pump my own gas. Fuck you, Oregon.
Yeah.
I do like that it gives people jobs, but I fucking hate having people pump my gas. And two, giving money back to people who, let's just say, had a hard time of it.
Yeah.
Because of people who look a lot like me. Though I look a lot like people who look a lot like me and obviously did stuff that maybe wasn't so good. And that's why I look how I look now, kind of thing. 1/16th bullshit. So the, yeah, I'm like, yeah, let's give fucking money to the reservation. Like,
yeah,
fuck you, Shell.
Right.
Well, and dude, seriously, Pendleton, there's a Chevron, a 76 and a Shell, and they all suck.
Yeah.
Like hardcore suck. So I was blown away. We filled up, we could have made it all the way to Boise on a single tank from here.
Wow.
Yeah. Our, if we'd kept up freeway speeds and kept up freeway driving, our expected range on the car, according to its little doodads, was about 600 miles, which means we would have arrived with 100 miles worth of gas left.
Wow.
Not in the city, obviously.
Right. But that's impressive.
It's impressive. We still stopped in Pendleton and filled up and did that thing. But yeah, so we got to, because we filled up in Pendleton, we got to Boise. We didn't fill up again until we left. We went a lot of places. And when we filled up, when we left, our range, we still had, we had like 200 miles we could have driven. We could have made it probably to Powder, or to shit, I forget the name. I think it's North Powder is the name of the city before the Blue Mountains.
Oh, okay.
Coming from east to west.
I was gonna say Pocatello.
Well, we could have made it to Pocolito.
Okay.
I like calling it Pocolito. The city next to Pocolito. God damn it! Now I am just saying it. The city next to Pocatello is named Chubbuck. That's Chubbuck. Funny. That's funny to me. It makes me laugh. So drove with the kids. They each took a turn at driving. My brother was there, so we hung out with him. I didn't get to see my folks. Probably next time around. It was just slammed weekend. I did get to catch up on the Orville, and I got to check out the first episode of Discovery. So, yeah. I will say this. I am a Star Trek fan.
Oh, before okay, we get into that, what was the bill? So it was $85 in the Spark. Mm-hmm. What was the gas bill in
41
this?
Each way. Well, 41 to 46 each way.
So
almost the same cost as one way in the Spark. Almost. It was a little more expensive. Plus, when you have a new car, you do start buying more stuff, like weird shit that you don't need. Like, oh man, I can't live without these Armor All packets.
Right.
Yeah. So that bumped it up back up a little bit.
Yeah.
You
know how to get them in Oregon to let you pump your own gas?
How's that?
Drive a Harley.
Oh, because they can't figure it out?
No, they will not. They know better than, I think, any motorcycle.
Yeah.
They pretty much let you.
I don't know. A Hayabusa, they might be. Well, if you're driving a Hayabusa, you probably don't know how to pump your own gas anyway. You just know how to look really fucking sweet on a bike with some sunglasses. You say things like, Tetsuo. I don't know what you say.
No, Canada, I don't either.
Tetsuo, Canada. Canada. I don't know. Oh, Canada. I'm a giant lump of flesh. No?
No.
No Akira jokes? All right. That's fine. So, yeah, that was, it was a very fun weekend. I still have not. Sorry, guys. Still haven't seen it. Have you?
Nope.
Fuck. So we can't talk about that.
If we see it, we're going to go together.
Yeah. Yeah, because clowns, dude. I'm going to hold your hand.
Yep.
Clowns, and if the old one, like, stands correct, giant spiders. So fuck that movie.
The
giant spider, which was laughable, honestly, it is not even a scary spider for me, and I hate them. In 1990s, it looked like a cross between a crab and like claymation from John Carpenter's The Thing. Now, that's not how it would look in the new movie, of course. But I think, if memory serves, that's from the adult portion, which is going to be the second movie. The first one is just the kids.
Oh, okay.
It's just the Losers Club when they're younger.
I saw Arachnophobia and lost my shit.
I fucking hated Arachnophobia. I love John Goodman, but yeah. I hated Arachnophobia. Because I had arachnophobia. Newsflash. Andy's scared of spiders. So Scott. Film at 11. I guess film at 8. One for each leg. So, yeah, that was. But I do want to talk a little bit about the stuff that we're going to talk about here. So,
oh, yes.
You want to go first with, because you were the holdout on that previous conversation. Do you remember what we were talking about?
No.
Damn it. I forgot too.
Discovery? Orville?
Well, no. We were talking about... oh, shit. Oh, no. No, that's right. It was just the NAS, and you were going to save it. So never mind. Let's talk about Discovery, because you've seen it. You've seen the first episode.
I have.
And I've seen up to episode 3 of The Orville.
I've only still seen the first one.
Okay. I will say this. If you've only seen the first episode of The Orville, it's not even worth talking about The Orville. Because 2 and 3 are so much better.
Mm.
So drastically better. Good. I'm not saying they're like the best thing in the world. They're good. They're passable sci-fi. They're fun. Little heavy on the current time references. It'd be like us making a bunch of Baroque jokes. Oh, wait. Shit, we do. All right. So it tracks. It tracks. Yeah. It's fine. There's also the thought that, you know, what if that was the last time there was any actual pop culture is like now? What if we're in peak pop culture and so future generations have to mine current time forever?
Ooh.
That would suck.
That would.
They'd be referencing the Orville.
Yeah?
Yeah. So Discovery. Okay, I want to get one thing out of the way. Yeah, it's a Pelican case.
Dude. I know.
This Pelican case is riding right up Scott's ass. The handle is just, it's in there. I can see it in his mouth. Yeah, that's a better idea. Yeah, spin it around.
Oh, it's a little more comfortable.
I asked him if he wanted a chair, and he said, no, I'm good, no. Bet he wishes he'd not said no anymore. There is a blanket over there if you want to take that. And
oh, no, I'm
good. You could also use the Movi Pelican, but then you'd be up way too high. So,
yeah.
That's a big pelican.
Yeah, it is. It's 40 foot.
Yeah. Wingspan of an albatross, I tell you. So, one thing I want to get out of the way, just right up front, there are a lot of detractors for the show. There are a lot of valid in that they are predicting Star Trek to fail because let's look at the evidence. Valid because they're predicting CBS to kill it. Let's look at the evidence. There's valid critique, but then there's the invalid critique, which is I don't want no women what ain't not white in my Star Trek. So obviously you've never watched Star Trek.
Right.
Like ever.
Because there's women and women of color and...
I'm just confused. Like, weren't these people weeded out when Kirk kissed Uhura?
I
thought they quit watching at that point.
Yeah.
But, okay. That all said, holy shit, it's Star Trek. For real. It felt like Star Trek.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about what I'm guessing there's like one of the major things is going to be the appearance of one of the races. A lot of people pissed off about that. I'm not pissed off about it. Klingons look completely different than they've ever looked before. They look like Louis Gossett Jr. in Enemy Mine.
Yeah, there's similarities.
Yeah, similarities for sure. They've got like shell patterns.
Yeah.
They don't have the vagina forehead like they did in Abrams Trek.
Right. And they do have the strong forehead to tip of the nose.
Yeah, they've got that. So there's some stuff there. There's some stuff not there. Another thing I want to get out of the way right now is the most valid criticism about the Klingon costume, in my opinion, hands down. Why would you choose teeth or teeth appliances that make you non-understandable when you're filming? Like, they don't ADR anything, so it just sounds like a bunch of mush mouth when they're talking. their teeth are so fake teeth are so big and so.
But they're
clunky.
Speaking Klingon. I can't.
But they're lisping Klingon. I know what Klingon sounds like.
Guys, can I get some dental work, please?
It sounds like a kid with those fake vampire teeth in their mouths.
Yeah,
it's a lot of tooth. I mean, they really went overboard with the teeth. They're craggy and they do crazy shit and all this stuff.
I just thought the apparel
too new, too modern.
It's all like shell work and it's. I understand.
It's a little Star Trek. It's a little Star Warsy, to be honest.
It is, and you know Star Trek. What is it? The original OST?
That's original soundtrack. It's TOS. The original series.
So that let's face it, it was any 10-ish to yellowish
to brownish, but brownish,
right? Person. So you could have Asian descent
Klingons. Well, and there were white Klingons,
Mexican Klingons.
I mean, Christopher Lloyd was a Klingon,
right? But that's not in OST or sorry OTS.
Unless if you don't count the movies,
right? I'm just talking about just the TV series because that's kind of the spectrum that we're looking at.
Okay.
Then we've got Worf,
mm-hmm.
and they morphed obviously into more of the
and his kids and all.
So it was still brown, but it was moving to a darker brown color.
Yeah, except. There were still a lot of white Klingon actors. There was a lot of brown face.
Yes.
But it's Klingon. This is one of those things where I don't want to talk about this without a person of color on the show, to be honest, because it is like the logical part of me is like, well, yeah, but it's an alien race. So like if they were blue, they'd all be blue, blah, blah, blah. But it's an alien race that you're wearing makeup to be, I don't know.
Right, but what I'm getting at is in the new one now.
Oh, they're all black.
No. You had at least two very for a Klingon, I will say albino.
Oh, by the spoiler alert. By the way, if you don't want to be spoiled on Discovery, skip this part because we're talking about it.
Is that a spoiler? I haven't seen the second episode.
No, Vok is a spoiler because we're going to be talking about the whole albinism thing, because they literally called it out in the dialogue to him that his skin made him an outcast.
Right. But there are different hue. So,
there are. Yeah. It's onyx all the way down to tan.
Right. That's what I was meaning is that in all the other series and movies, it's one race, one color,
which makes no sense for a planet.
No.
Yeah.
And so now that's one of the things that I was initially thrown by was when you get the primary, speaker. I was like, whoa, they really went out on a limb with this. And then they pan back and you see all the other ones. And I'm like,
oh,
I feel like this is a race of people.
It's actually inclusive. It's actually a species.
Yes.
Now. And I mean, they did try a few times to do that. I think they tried to, I don't know. I've just never understood the whole concept of Earth and Vulcan are the only two planets in all of Star Trek where it's not mono race or mono species, where everyone's not the same, you know. I will agree that it is jarring to see the technology in this show. It is jarring to see it because the technology is obviously advancing with the technology to film, not the technology of the series, because that's how you have to do things, kind of. Especially when you're, I guess, apparently.
What do you mean the technology? You mean the technology
on the ship? Like the displays are all like beautiful HD glossy glass. Everything has amazing HUD technology that didn't exist even in Next Gen, not even close in Voyager. Well, actually, just not even close in any of them. None of the TV shows had anything like the HUD technology they have in this. All beautiful stuff. The filming is gorgeous. it's better than Enterprise, which is the only redeeming aspect of Enterprise to me, was the filming. They do step on it with CGI quite often.
Yeah, okay, good.
There's a lot of CGI that's unnecessary.
To me, it looked like I was watching Babylon 5.
Good Babylon. I mean, the CGI is good.
Oh, it's
Babylon
great.
Babylon 5 CGI was not good, even for the time.
No, but I mean, you knew you were... Yes, I mean, you could just scan through it's, the...
Yeah, it takes you out. I completely agree with you on that. But it's Star Trek. I mean, I'm used to being taken out of Star Trek by... I mean, fuck, remember the game that Will Wheaton played? Or that everybody got addicted to with the funnels and stuff?
Oh.
And, like, that was some fucking Lawnmower Man shit. Like, it was bad. So I think that the technology in filmmaking is getting to the point where futurists can actually kind of really take you into the future a little bit more. And I think they did in a lot of ways. One of the things that they did that I love, that I would love to see more of, some people are probably going to hate it, I would love to see more of it, is the exosuit, the suit for, so we've seen spacewalk suits in Star Trek many times. Kirk went out in one, you know, they had the whole thing where they lifted the dish off when the Borg were on the ship that one time. Lots and lots of spacewalk suits. This one looks functional. It is not designed for going and fighting on the surface of the saucer section. It is designed for mobility. It's essentially a one-person shuttle. It's like one of those little submarines that you hold onto in the water. It's got thrusters. It's really neat. I liked it. It was kind of Iron Man.
I was just going to say Iron Man-ish.
But Iron Man, you know, 250 years from now, kind of makes a little bit of sense.
Oh, so, for sure.
I have a theory. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Okay. Just plug your ears for 2 minutes. I have a theory. Because I haven't read much about the show. Michelle Yeoh's going to leave. She's not the captain forever.
Right, because it says special guest.
Special guest, exactly. It's a special guest, and she's immediately talking to Michael, which I think is awesome that they named a woman Michael, by the way.
Yeah.
That was really fucking cool. She is also... she's so badass. I fucking love her. She's headstrong and an idiot sometimes, and fucking just great and intelligent and all that. She is going to be a great captain.
She is the other half of Spock. Spock being... more Vulcan than human, she is more human than Vulcan.
She's not Vulcan at all.
Well.
She's trained as a Vulcan.
Okay.
She went through Vulcan training, I guess. She's the last samurai. Let's not get into that. The ship. Okay. This made me happy. It's going to piss a bunch of people off. And it does allow for a bunch of Abrams flares. I get that. If you're making a scientific observation vessel, it should be mostly window.
Yeah.
And it finally fucking is.
Yeah.
The bridge is windows.
Yeah.
Doug Jones is amazing.
Yeah.
His character's weird as shit, but I love it. I love the character. So Doug Jones plays a character who his entire species is binary in terms of prey and predator. There's only prey and only predators, and there's not a lot of differentiation of species. So he is essentially a sentient cow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got these little tendrils that come out when he feels death is near and all this stuff. He's even got a lot of bovine qualities to his face. Like he's got separated bottom teeth. So he has that kind of like clacky, clompy chewing sound occasionally. And I don't know if it's prosthetic or if they digitally removed him, but his bottom teeth are essentially only the front arc of his teeth. And then it's just empty behind. It looks really cool. And, of course, Doug Jones can make any creepy, skinny, weird, wobbly thing cool looking.
Yes.
So, even Richard Simmons.
He was great outside of makeup in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, well, he's great in a lot of things. You know who he reminds me of a lot facially? Joel Grey.
Ooh, yes.
He really looks like Joel Grey to me.
Yep.
It's like Joel Grey, him, and John Waters could all have, like they could have a sit-down and people would be like, wait, which one is that? Wait, what? John Waters would have to shave his mustache, of course, or they'd all have to grow one.
Right.
Either way would work. Let's get on this. Let's make this happen. Overall, the premiere left me extremely positively hopeful. It is not the best episode of Star Trek. I'm going to say that right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the best episode of Star Trek that's ever been. It's not the best first episode of a series of Star Trek, even. I think that... it pains me to say this. I think that honor goes to Voyager. The first episode of Voyager was great. Farpoint was great, too, though. Farpoint was awesome. And we had a bit of a technical difficulty there, so we are restarting this recording again. As I was saying, Farpoint was awesome. And I think I'm actually going to change my answer to that. Farpoint is probably the best first episode. But this one left me, like I said, very hopeful that the series is going to be quite good moving forward.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, and I think if it's like Orville or any of the series that are out today,
right.
The first one, it's just got to get you hooked enough to say, yeah, I'm willing to see episode two.
Right.
Because I think you got to get six in.
Now let's move to a piece of valid criticism that directly impacts what we just said.
Okay.
Streaming service only after the first two episodes is my understanding. It will not be broadcast after the first two episodes.
Really?
That's my understanding. I need to double check that because I think it might have changed. But after the first two episodes, it's going to be that CBS Access.
Yeah, because they were really promoting it on the TV last night, that episode two is already available. Go to your
maybe that's what they'll do.
Fire TV, and
I'd be okay with that if CBS Access got a week lead time, but it still got broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah,
I'd be fine with that. If they do say that it's only going to be available on CBS Access, it's already dead.
Yeah,
because I'm not. There's already two services that have got a foothold, and that's just life. That's just life. You use Netflix for movies, you use Amazon Hulu for TV shows, and you use Amazon because it does pay you more than any other of the other ones. But those are it. I'm not paying for another one. Sorry, Disney. Sorry, HBO. I mean, HBO kind of makes sense because you've always paid more for it, you know?
Right. And HBO Now is
not that
expensive.
It's about the same price as adding it to your it's about the same price as adding it to your TV package.
Yeah.
Unless you get like one of those deals or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's fine-ish. But here's the thing. I'm not gonna pay $10 a month for what amounts to one show, because the rest of their stuff is just gonna be reruns from their garbage regular broadcasts.
Right.
Fuck that.
Cody.
Yeah. So why did Netflix survive? Because they didn't only show Netflix stuff. In fact, in the beginning, they didn't show any Netflix stuff. There was no Netflix stuff.
Stars,
right. Same with Hulu. Hulu didn't have originals to begin with.
Nope.
They're adding originals to a bunch of other stuff. And I think these people are forgetting that. Well, they don't know. All they're seeing are dollar signs. They're like,
right.
Oh, the dollar. So, CBS is like, well, we'll just make a thing and put all of our original programming on it. Okay, that doesn't compete with Netflix for me, not for $10, because Netflix has a bunch of stuff from Sony, a bunch of stuff from Warner Brothers, a bunch of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't understand what I'm getting by paying extra for CBS, unless CBS is putting ABC and NBC on there, which they're not.
But I will say this on the Netflix for movies thing. I don't, because you have to get the DVDs or the Blu-ray package to get the quote new releases on Netflix.
Yeah.
I do that. I watch them for the original series.
Yeah, I do. That's true.
For any archived stuff, you know, person of interest, all that stuff that I want to binge watch, documentaries, comedy specials.
Now,
and they're getting really good about
person of interest is that amazing AI.
Oh yeah.
Serial
brother.
Drama. Yeah.
Yeah.
James Caviezel.
Yes.
Jim Caviezel.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from the other one.
Yeah, Caviezel.
Yeah. So he's
Marysville.
Marysville.
Yeah. He's from Marysville.
Yeah. Well.
Seattle.
I thought he was from Golgotha or wherever he got nailed to the sticks.
That's
I don't know how that stuff works. He got nailed to sticks by
Mel Gibson.
Oh, I thought it was an airline pilot or something.
Oh.
And Judas Priest was there. rocking out.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah. He said, he was like, one of you will betray me, but man, you're going to make some sick licks, brother. Jesus of
Nazareth.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Hair now of the dog. You're messing with it.
Son of a bitch. Now you're messing with a
son of a bitch.
I love that fucking song. My brother had Hair of the Dog when I was younger, and the cover, it was so Dark Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Skeksy looking wolves and shit in a cave, that and the cave like had a claw on it and shit. I loved that. Yeah, was great, great stuff. Anywho, so yeah, I will put Discovery in my personal rating system above Orville currently. You need to watch the next episodes of both,
right?
Only if only someone had a working NAS with those on them. So,
ba-dum-bum.
But op shop.
If only someone had internet.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Access you can watch it on your phone. How does Plex work on the Windows Phone these days?
I'm using the Windows Phone to serve as a hotspot.
Oh, okay.
So that I can then watch it on something else,
something
like
good, right?
Like a Surface. Like
a Surface, right?
It's not doing so swell.
It's limping.
But T-Mobile for some reason just
doesn't
come in well here.
I went to the website we used to love, Windows Central. I went to that the other day, and and it was nothing but anger for me. Talking about will Satya win back? Begrudged mobile users with his new mobile vision, and his new mobile vision is we're focusing on business. So no, the answer is no.
Answer's no.
The answer is no.
We're focusing on apps for every other mobile platform but our own.
That's true. I do like the thought of so one of the projects, I think it's called Andromeda. Since we're talking about sci-fi anyway. Project Andromeda, I think, is it's the same OS on all devices now. For real though, not just the same kernel, the actual same OS. It's modular OS. So if you're on a mobile device, you get the mobile modules, but it's all the same OS.
For Windows. Oh, okay.
So it'll be the Xbox, it'll be Windows, it'll be if it takes off, which it probably won't because whatever. Fucking Satya.
But they did directly help Kodi app developers.
True.
So it's on Windows Store.
True. That's one of the few official stores where you can get it, I think.
Yep.
So that's funny. Anywho, that's our take there. Is there anything else you wanted to say about the Orville? I don't want to get too far into the Orville because I really want to talk about episodes 2 and 3.
Right. So I gotta get
I just don't think episode 1 is worth talking about. It is exactly what everyone worried it was going to be, which isn't necessarily terrible. It's just exactly what everyone worried it was going to be, which is Seth MacFarlane making a bunch of jokes about being cheated on. Guess what? That's what episode 1 was.
Right.
Episode 2 and 3, completely different. Norm MacDonald shows up in 3, finally.
Oh, nice.
He's the blob that gets run through.
He showed up in 1.
Oh, he did. But, yeah, he got stepped on.
Yeah.
That's right. But he's back in 3, and... you know, just overall, I really like the characters so far outside of Seth MacFarlane. He's okay. Everyone but Seth MacFarlane is fucking great.
Yeah.
And Scott Grimes, I will never not love Scott Grimes. I really hope they do a Trouble with Critters episode. Because it'd be the homage to Star Trek and the homage to Critters, which was Scott Grimes' first starring role. Back when he was a little kid.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was a little redhead kid in Critters,
man.
That's
right.
And for those of you who don't know, so Scott Grimes, they became friends on American Dad, where Scott Grimes auditioned for Steve Smith, the son of Stan, played by Seth MacFarlane. Seth MacFarlane loves to sing, okay? But he's got essentially one trick, which is half-assed Frank Sinatra.
Right.
Not the worst. It's good. He's better than I am, you know, for sure. Scott Grimes is fucking phenomenal at singing. Like, ridiculous. Go look up Scott Grimes, Man in the Mirror. You know what? Pause the podcast. Go look up Scott Grimes, Man in the Mirror right now. It is fucking amazing. And he's a great singer. So They're going to do a musical episode. I can feel it. There's going to be an Orville musical episode. Yeah. It's going to happen. But I would love to see The Trouble with Critters. I think that would be hilarious. So we should probably get some questions because it's really late on account of all the technical difficulties.
Yes.
Yeah. So first, let's answer last week's Bardic Questions of the Week.
And okay.
Our Bardic Question of the Week was, how do you get out of helping people move? And I really wish I'd asked this 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, because then Andy would have some answers.
Yeah. You know what? You know how you should get out of helping people move? And I know you're listening, Brophy, so listen to me. Tell people when you're sick. Because I got it. I caught it. It was only a day and a half, but it sucked. Don't move people when you're sick, Brophy. I mean, thank you. It was nice of you to help. But Jesus. Oh, that's... My nose was... so stuffed it was coming out of my ears.
I will say, though,
ever had to blow your ears? It's not fun.
Yeah. And I think we did it just right.
Yeah.
Because
one fewer person would have fucked it.
And less people to load the truck.
Yeah.
Than offloading, because loading is such a Tetris thing.
Yes.
Offloading, it's just, yep, I need to get this shit inside before the rain starts.
Right.
Which
we didn't,
but it wasn't too bad.
It wasn't pouring.
No,
it did for like a minute and a half, and then it kind of eased off into that like Seattle mist.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Seth Davis says, I'm not going to be much help with this question. Well, thanks for answering it, because I love helping friends move. Fly me to Seattle and I'm in, winky smile.
Yeah, if I had the money to do that, you'd be coming here not to help me move, just to hang out.
I was going
to
say, if you had the money to do that, you would have hired movers, dude.
True.
Rob McLennan says, my go-to excuse is bad knees and a bad back. Well, I get out of something stuff with that, but not moving.
I've got bad knees and a bad back, but I still suck it up.
Well, while doing it, then the next day, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Paula Moran's answer is, I generally try to help when I can, especially since we have a van, but being at work is the biggest issue when I can't. That's actually a good point. Being at work always trumps moving for friends.
Yeah.
I have heard the excuse before. I can't help you move because I'm lactose intolerant. Because what do people ply friends helping you move with?
Milk?
Pizza. All the time. It's pizza and beer. So I've heard it's not, I mean,
I can't help you move because I want to eat what you're bribing me with. Because
I don't want to eat what you're bribing.
Well, I know. Then just don't eat it.
Well,
drink the beer and what am I gonna shut get up.
So anyway, it's a bad excuse. Don't use it. James Peters says, don't have anything to add on the moving train, which is good because you probably should only add stuff to a stationary train.
Yeah.
As most of my friends have been moving across the Pacific and there's not much I could help with. You could rent a boat. And then he also thanks us for all the answers on cameras.
You're welcome.
So Casey Lee replied, best no help moving excuse. I never make one. I just say, and I don't know what Casey actually sounds like, so I'm going to do this in my best Casey voice.
Well, I will ask my aid service to bring me, unless it's more than the 10 miles she is allowed to transport me. Then we will both need a ride. Also, do you have room in the van for a 160-pound service dog? Oh, you use metric. Well, that will do no good.
And he says, this shuts down the conversation kind of quickly. If not, they have earned all the help I can give, which is exactly one service dog's worth.
Yeah, that's a big service dog.
160 pounds of dog is just, that's a lot of dog.
What is that, a bull mastiff?
It's like that dog needs a service dog.
Yeah.
No, it's a chihuahua, dude. It's got problems.
Ooh, I'll say.
Yeah. It's a chihuahua. So, yeah. Do we have a Bardic question this week? Why don't you ask a question this week? Maybe about, I don't know, technology.
Who do you turn to for help when you have technical issues?
See, I can probably pre-answer this one. So Seth's going to say I do it myself. Rob's going to say I'm the one helping everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Paula seems pretty capable, so she probably turns to Google. Casey seems to either know what he's doing or know enough to fake it. So he's probably also going to turn to Google. We all know who Brian turns to.
Yep.
So, and we all know who Scott turns to.
Yep.
It's still a good one. Tell us when
I'm not turned to.
Tell us who you turn to for your technical help for out of warranty, out of band, not calling the Genius Bar types of repair.
Right.
Because I don't give a fuck about Apple or the douchebags who work there.
Indeed.
For our questions this week, James Peters asks, have you ever found any smartphone games you actually enjoy? If so, what made them stand out to you in a market of made entirely of cookie-cutter microtransaction bollocks? Go ahead.
Well,
because I definitely have one, and I feel like it might be the same one.
Go for it, because I have more than one.
Okay. Legend of the Skyfish is probably my favorite mobile game. It's not, there are no microtransactions. It is a buy it and play it game.
Yep.
I fucking love that game. I'm not a tower defense guy, which is like most of this. I hate shit like Clash of Clans. I hate it. Hate it. Hate it. But there have been a couple of tower defenses I found fun. Like that one we got that we did the review on was pretty fun. It was pretty fun.
Which I have on here. It is Radiant Defense.
Radiant Defense. That was fun. That actually, yeah. It's tower defense, so it couldn't hold me for like very long, but it was a good distraction. And then
and it was interesting tower defense. It wasn't get all your minions and go attack the tower. It was how do you buy things in this automated. Right. It was unique.
And I love the IDOS Go games. Tomb Raider Go, Hitman Go, things like that.
Oh, I haven't played those.
They're all puzzle solving. You should definitely play Tomb Raider Go. But, I mean, you know how you get about an hour and a half of battery life right now? You get through the first puzzle.
Okay.
It makes your phone hot. But Tomb Raider Go, tons of fun. Puzzle solving, great. Really liked it. Again, no microtransactions. There might have been microtransactions, but I didn't see any, and I had no need for any of the help. So.
Yeah, I like Aces of the Luftwaffe. Which is a Windows phone game. I don't know if it's on any other.
Maybe Aces of the Luftwaffe.
But it's like the old video game 1942.
Yeah.
Where you're the bomber and you blow stuff out of the sky. I like that. The escape games.
Yeah, those are fun. Like Door.
They They might have some microtransaction stuff in there. But
for like
I think
hints,
it's,
right?
I think it's hints, or they've got the little ads at the bottom of the screen.
Oh, yeah, fuck ads. But you know what? I'll live with this.
Yeah.
Wordament. I play the hell out of Wordament. So Wordament is essentially Boggle.
Yeah, Jen's got one. I can't remember what it is, but it's like a crossword puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a picture, and that's the theme. Then they give you the crossword puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You click on it, and it'll give you a scramble of letters.
Mm.
And you have to figure out what that word is based on the picture and the scramble of letters.
Oh, yeah. I've played that. So another game I loved back in the day was Text Twist, which is similar. You get, I think, 7 or 8 letters, and you have to make as many words out of them as you can.
Oh, okay.
Three letters or more per word. And you always get like a bonus for getting all of the letters. They all spell at least one full word.
Oh,
so
okay.
You get a bonus for that. That was a lot of fun.
Monument Valley. I got hooked on it from House of Cards.
Okay.
I think season 1 or 2, Kevin Spacey's playing that. And I found out what it was and I finally picked it up.
Cool.
The problem is I got through the whole game in one sitting.
Mm.
And so it's not very long, but it's very puzzle solvey. It's geometric.
Nice.
And there's not much on the Windows phone for apps. Mm. Radiant, which is kind of like Space Invaders.
Yes.
Made by the same people that do Radiant Defense.
Right.
Reaper.
Yeah, I liked Reaper. Okay. The graphics were fantastic.
Yes.
Cute, really cute little graphics. But you can listen to our review of that later.
Any of the Tetris type games?
Yeah.
I'm
a Puyo Puyo guy myself.
Trolls versus Vikings?
Played that, liked it better than Plants versus Zombies, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it is microtransaction-y bullshit in a lot of ways. You don't have to.
Right, and I don't.
But, I haven't gotten far enough in it to know if it becomes like really difficult to play if you don't.
It does and it doesn't once you figure out sort of the pattern on who to get, which I like. I like a game mm-hmm. that I can get in front of.
Yes.
And if it takes me a long time to figure out how to do that, that's fine. So, but the ones where you can get to this level and there ain't no more unless you buy stuff, I'm just out. I don't play those.
Me, I actually prefer those. The ones I hate more than anything are the free to wait games where if you don't microtransaction them, everything takes like a day to do.
Yeah.
Fuck those games. Fuck them. They are terrible.
You had Words by Post, which I still haven't played.
Words by Post is Words with Friends. It was fun. It was kooky. The problem is, like, when you're playing regular matched games, which are not your friends list, you have to go out to play them online. Everybody's fucking using dictionaries, so there's no, what's the point?
Right.
If you're using a dictionary, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And the last one that I like, I have not played, so I don't know if it's standalone or if it mm-hmm. needed to be updated or whatever, but Whack'em Earthling.
Oh, that's interesting.
Was a really fun, it's very active on the finger.
Right.
You have to move things around.
Nice.
Vikings versus Trolls got me from Reykjavik to Minneapolis.
Wow.
I just played that straight.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Vikings versus Trolls is definitely, it's a pretty game.
Yep.
No matter what system you're on, it's beautiful. And it is fun. It's really fun.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this much. I hate, like, this is an unpopular opinion. I hate Mario Run with a passion. I hate games like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mario Run, I don't like endless runners anyway. I don't like where your only interaction is tap in the at a certain time.
Yep.
Even though I did kind of like what was that one called? Jack and Jill or whatever. It was the little black and white one on Windows Phone.
Mm.
It was, you know. Oh, Elo Milo was another one that was actually really good.
Oh yes,
Elo Milo was excellent, and Elo Milo is the only Windows Phone game designed specifically for Windows Phone. And it's the best looking Windows Phone game there is.
Yes.
To this day. It's sad.
I have that.
It shows you how much power that it's in that hardware, and they just never used it.
Yeah. On, I think, my Surface. I don't have it on the phone. And then another one was Mytorium. It has like French cartoon graphics.
Mm.
And you've got a, you're like a tin can man.
Okay.
And you've got to go solve these puzzles, turn these knobs, and go in this world. And it was another one kind of like Monument Valley in that
sounds,
it was very pretty, very simple, very stylized, but had a definite end.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, I did that one in a day.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Paula Moran asks, what is the strangest project you've ever worked on just because you were bored? Paula Moran doesn't have a penis, and that is very obvious because of this question. When we're bored, we do one thing. No, that's not true. It's kind of true. It's mostly true. But then you get tired or whatever.
You
gotta go drink some water. So
hydrate.
For me, I've started a lot of stupid projects when I'm bored. Like I tried to make a DDR mat once. Like for Dance Dance Revolution. Started that, didn't finish it. Started cleaning my room once, didn't finish that, obviously. But mostly when I'm bored, I either consume pop culture media
mm-hmm.
or I write. I try to write as much as I can, or at least, you know. So when it comes to like picking up major projects when I'm bored, I guess building my Raspberry Pi would have been the, or my RetroPie, rather, would have been the biggest thing.
I think mine was the lights in the bottle.
Yeah, those were cool.
My USB mm-hmm. thing. I'm gonna have to get people back in the UK to send me USB lights.
Because
I don't think you can find them here.
Yeah, it's weird.
Which is sad.
Do you want to read the next one?
Sure. Matthew Hunt.
Hey, Matthew.
Writes in and says, so what games have you played recently? Any coming up that you like the look of? Tabletop, board game, card game, computer game, console, etc.
So lately, let's see. Sonic Mania, which is fantastic. If you like 16-bit games, Sonic Mania is a no-brainer. It's like $20. Go buy it. It's great. I played a little bit of Nier Automata this weekend. My kid had it. So I played some of that, and it feels like old school Final Fantasy. So I'm probably going to pick it up because it doesn't feel like the current Square Enix Final Fantasy stuff where it's like you have to have a job in the game that feels worse than the job you have in real life, and you have to like level up your this and that. It's got a little tiny bit of that, but not nearly as much. So I really liked that. The only thing I didn't like about it is even on PC, it had that PlayStation Brown look to it. And I think people know what I'm talking about there. That sort of dingy, gritty, dragged through dust look that a lot of PlayStation games have. Aaron just played through... So mine are mostly going to be video games, and I'm sorry about that. Aaron just played through Uncharted Lost Legacy. Oh my God. That is... hands down, that is the prettiest game I've ever seen. Hands down. Wow. That includes PC. I mean, they Naughty Dog knows how to work what hardware is in the PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. They just know how to work it. And Lost Legacy is beyond gorgeous. And fun.
Is that like the other one that she likes?
It's not like Last of Us. It's a little like Last of Us. Naughty Dog too. They're both Naughty Dog.
This is
more like a parkour simulator.
Okay. But
these people are superhuman. Like they can fly 20, you know, they can fly like 20 yards and catch themselves with one hand on a rock face. They can drop hundreds of feet and not dislocate their everything when they grab a rope, you know.
Okay. It's
pretty crazy. So yeah, that's my big stuff there. I did just back Numenera's expansion from Monte Cook.
Mm-hmm.
We are not sponsored by or in any other way affiliated with Monte outside of, you know, we know him and he's a nice guy and he's busy all the time, so he never comes over anymore. It's fine. I didn't care anyway, and I'll just keep the stuff he left here last time. But anyway, so I'm excited to play that. Numenera is a very interesting world, essentially. And, you know, I've always said that regardless of what system you're playing, if you have a DM who's good enough, they can do a great job. I think Numenera lets you have kind of a mediocre DM and it still feels like a great job. So kind of like 13th Age. I think both of them have these elements that make the storytelling such a heavy part of the game that it's a lot of fun. How about you, Scott?
Nice. Frackin' Epic.
Ah, yeah.
That's always a good... No, haven't. But you know, if you want a good, easy in the car RPG
that you can play without paper or anything, just using your head.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
That's co-developed by two bards.
Yes.
Get that one. Yeah.
That was a fun road trip.
Cards Against Humanity.
Of course.
I
want Cards Against Zoomanity because fuck Cirque du Soleil.
Pooh and Space Pooh.
Everyone loves Pooh, man. I'm trying. I just can't get into it.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe I'll try again. Maybe now that you guys are back, maybe I'll try again.
It's so fun and quick and simple.
Yeah.
And simple is what we're going to keep the rest of this podcast because
we just crashed again.
Again.
Yeah.
That's crash number 3.
Yep.
So,
And I don't usually have these problems. These are usually Scott problems.
Yes.
So, Rob McLennan asks, Ancient Aliens, yes or no?
Yes.
No. Casey Lee asks, Casey Lee states, on topic this week, my research shows Richard Pryor co-wrote Blazing Saddles. This is true. This is not common knowledge, as Brooks and Pryor, both being legendary artists, have powerful personalities and had a falling out. Also true. On the DVD release, however, Pryor's name was posthumously added to the credits. The falling out was over Cleveland Little getting the starring role that Richard was at first told he would have. Which, Cleveland Little was so good. Richard Pryor could have done it, but I think Cleveland Little brought something to it. Pryor's hand, I think, was why the tone of that film was very on point. I agree in a lot of ways. I think Brooks has it in him, too.
Yes.
But I think that the racial, a lot of the racial comedy and sort of deconstructing racism in America, obviously, like Pryor and other black men in Mel Brooks's camp, black men and women in Mel Brooks's camp, definitely inform that.
Yes.
That's how Mel Brooks was.
Yeah.
He would always do that. So that's why he consulted all those dogs about barf on Spaceballs. So, all right. Well, that about wraps it up for these questions, and hopefully we don't crash again in the next couple of minutes here. So thanks for listening. And, let's say a huge thanks to our Patreon patrons.
Hawk Robinson.
Leslie Sedlak.
Rob McLennan.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
James Peters.
Gordon D. Duke.
Digby Davis, LLC.
Justin Everett.
Dougie Sharp.
Todd McKimmy.
Amanda Cook.
Lotta Jerv.
Tom Brophy.
Laura Adams.
James Herbert.
Adam Morey.
Tim Martin.
Paula Moran.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
And you, Liver Yug.
Lover. It's Yug Lavar. Love you.
Oh.
Yug Lavier. I like Yug Lavier. I want to make Yug Lavier into a game character in something that I'm not talking about.
That would be good.
Someday soon. We'll like very soon, we should have an announcement to make, but we'll talk about that later.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you can be on Rachel Bell's new podcast that talks about dining with famous people, and I love Rachel Bell. She's a local person here on 97.3 Cairo FM.
Oh, it's not Rachel Bea?
No.
Oh.
You can ring her bell, Rachel Bell. She's got a thing on the Ron and Don show. Anyway.
The Ramadan show?
Ron and Don. On the drive home talk radio. It's great
Ron
stuff.
Ron and Don on.
At least I hope they're still on. I don't know because I haven't listened to them since I've been back. But I heard that Neil deGrasse Tyson was on there and... God damn it. We've been asking longer than Rachel Bell's been doing that podcast.
Hey, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you want to get a close-up look at a brown hole, I got one for you. Dickwad. Come on our show! It doesn't.